Welcome to the newest episode of Not Enough Wrestling. I am Matthew All-Star Jones, featuring the Colombian Cartel, and we got, now known as the supervisor, he was Anthony the Assassin. We are the Faction of Satisfaction. Let's get right into it. Today's episode is going to be pretty much our predictions for the matches coming up. But let's talk about Monday Night's Raw, Retribution finally showing their faces. So who wants to hit it off first?
Okay, so that was hot garbage how they just came out on Monday. Just going to put that right out there. They took some of the most promising names of NXT, stuck them behind some rubber-ass masks looking like fake veins. They're saying nothing. And then they show this group that's supposed to be anti-WWE, and the first thing they say is, they signed a contract?
That whole group to me makes no sense. Like they have no idea what they're doing, why they're doing it.
They call
the whole WWE locker room whores and like and all that crap, and then they're saying how they're gonna ruin the WWE and make it Retribution, something like that. And like you said, they signed WWE contracts.
How can you be this outsider group if you're under contract?
I don't know. The only reason why they're in a group called Retribution is because they had nothing for them to do. So they're like, hey, we're all going to put you in a group with face masks. Go make things happen. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. Right now, it's not working at all.
I mean, and then like you look at the names they put in this. These are names that that could have done well on their own. Dominic Dijakovic, Shane Thorne, you got Mia Yim, Mercedes Martinez. Those are names that they could have been on their own and still have drawn money, but now you're turning them Slapjack and T-Bars and stuff like that.
It's the Hawking team from hell.
Right, no one is going to buy this.
My name is Slapshot, man. Come at me, bro.
Right, and then they're a heel group, and the only other group that's going up against them is a heel group.
Yep.
Who's the hero here? Who am I supposed to root for?
The Hurt Business, obviously.
Well, now I'm rooting for the Hurt Business.
So for 2.5 hours of Raw, I have to hate the Hurt Business, and then for a half an hour Raw, I gotta act like all of that didn't happen, and then start liking them again.
Oh man, that's funny, bro. Look, I mean, I agree with everything you guys said. I can't disagree with anything you guys said so far, bro. Like, the Hurt Business, I mean, the Retribution really was a bad idea. Retribution should have been the people that they released, they re-signed back, and you put them right in this little... Because I tweeted that. I said, the only way this Retribution thing works is if it's people that's been let go, you bring them back, and then you use them in this storyline. Well, because they're...
Okay, so like here's where they messed up. And they messed up way, way long ago. So first off, when they first started doing these run-ins, they said that these were NXT wrestlers who felt they have been put to the wayside. So this could have gone somewhere. This had promise.
Well, they can't go. Wait. But they say Mia Yim was still being used. It wasn't like she wasn't being used.
Right.
Dijak was.
Yeah. All these people still had ongoing storylines when they first showed Retribution. Dijakovic was finishing up with Keith Lee and that whole after Keith got the title.
Mm-hmm.
Medium was walking out of that whole Gargano mess with Candice. Mercedes Martinez just started with the Robert Stone brand, trying to get back at Rhea Ripley for something. The only two are Dio Madden, who they wrote off the commentary table after that Brock Lesnar attack.
That's him.
Yeah, that's Dio.
Wow.
Right.
His whole thing was to come back and go after Brock.
Right. No, none of that. He's coming back. He's looking like Eddie Gordo trying to be Vane. And then you got Shane Thorne, who hasn't been doing much. So those two, you kind of see, like, all right, maybe we can repackage them. But the other three were very prominent and made names already.
Wow.
And then you still got 12 other people running around.
How are you going to try to get Retribution on Brock, and he's not even there?
Right. Then you go, and you could have said, like, oh, yeah, these are disgruntled NXT people who feel like they've been, you know, cast out of the system or whatnot, and that would have been enough for them to do all what they're doing. But then you rewrite that, call them an outsider group. I mean, first of all, you can't really hide who Dominik Dijakovic is. He's like 8 feet tall. Then you rewrite that. Then you start saying like they're outside the company. Then you say they're part of the company. They signed legitimate contracts.
Yeah, that threw me off when I heard him say that.
What company is going to sign people who openly say, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and destroy all your crap?
Well, I mean, if you sign them and they break up, then you just take it out of their check.
Well, didn't seem like that was the case on Monday.
It didn't make sense in the beginning if who they used weren't going to be people who actually had a legit reason. Maya Yim, the only reason why they moved Maya Yim is because her and Keith Lee are kicking it.
But see, so, that only makes sense if they were traveling now. Everything is being shot in Orlando.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, in order to keep them together, they just moved them both over. And so she's on Raw, but she's under the Retribution brand. So it's a bad look. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, the only thing, and then what hurts the Retribution group is when this is finally all over, you got to repackage them all over again.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to work.
And then here's the thing. Out of everybody, you can tell right away Mia Yim is Mia Yim.
Yeah.
Like, that was just very obvious.
And the promos they cut was so bad, bro.
It made no sense. It made no sense. It's like those old Bray Wyatt promos. I'm just saying stuff to say stuff in a creepy voice.
Yeah, this is not going to work out. I can tell, like, maybe it'll go up to, like, because they were talking about they're going to try to do the Survivor Series match with them.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's gonna be Retribution versus like the Raw roster, like five of them. I don't know, but that's not gonna work out.
No, it's not. It's sloppy and it's lazy.
What's WWE known for? Sloppy and laziness. Since we got to bend that out.
I said, hopefully they can turn it around.
I mean, like, for me, with groups like that, you need somebody that's a big name to be the leader of that group. And there's nobody here that stands up as the leader. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
If Rollins, like, when Rollins started his group with the AOP and Buddy Murphy and the other guy that was in there, but then they moved him back to NXT. I can't think of his name, but. He had a squad. Like, you need a leader of a squad. MVP, the Hurt Business. MVP is the leader, and everybody else is around them. Like, that's how you build a group up and make them somebody serious. But this group here has nobody to.
Not necessarily true. Now, you think back to what, 2010 when Nexus invaded?
Wade Bear was the leader. He was the one who did all speaking.
But he was just, to the casual WWE fan, he was just as much of a nobody as everybody else in that group. But they made an impact. They made an impact. They didn't have to say much. They came in, they destroyed everything, proved a point, then John Cena buried them. You know, Retribution just went straight to the burial.
Asuka going against Zelina Vega, which was completely out of nowhere. I feel like Mickie James should be involved in this match. Mm-hmm. She should get a rematch after that botch.
There was a natural storyline that could have been built out of that botch, and they just threw it away.
Well, yeah, they gave her a rematch on Raw, but she lost that.
Okay. So why am I invested in Zelina Vega? She went from being this woman who couldn't keep Andrade and Pants Boy together.
Garza.
Garza, thank you. To all of a sudden just walking out like, hey, Asta, I'm going to be your next challenger. Then the next week, Andrade and Garza, now they're number one contenders.
Okay.
Why am I invested in her? Whereas I saw a match between Mickey James and Asuka that was actually pretty good, that ended very controversially.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of the Montreal job.
Right. Could have very been easily written off like that. There could have easily been a story kind of out there. There were people invested now because they wanted to know why Mickey James just kind of screwed out of this. Nope. Let's just write her off with a weird number one contender match.
I don't know, man.
So, Asuka walking away with that title because there's no reason why Zelina's even in the ring with her.
As much as I want Zelina Vega to win the title, I don't think it's going to happen just yet. So, I think Asuka's going to retain.
I think we all believe Asuka's going to win. So, it's not that. I mean, we all know that. But it's just like Zelina needs to come out there and have a match that shows that, oh, okay, she can actually be a threat to Asuka. Because this would be her first match on both brands. On any brand since she came over to WWE in general.
Right.
Now, me and Mike seen her work because she used to work at TNA. So we know she can get down.
Well, I'm not saying she can't work. I'm just saying there was a story. There was a better story that could have came out of that Mickey James match. Instead, all we got was Zelina Vega, who has been shown as nothing more than a manager, just walking out to Asuka and saying, I'm the next challenger. Unfortunately, it's no good, man. Does not work in her favor because too many people were more invested into what happened with the Mickey James match.
Yeah, but Mike said they gave her a rematch on Monday and she lost again, right?
Right, but no one's going to look at that and go, that still legitimizes Zelina's. Because again, Mickey James, 6-time woman champion, right?
Yeah.
Any day of the week, I know she can go. Again, I've seen her in TNA. You guys saw her in TNA. She had matches in NXT as well. As far as the main roster goes, to your point, Matt, all she's been is a manager. Couple of mixed tags here when they first got called up, but nothing really spectacular. Storyline-wise, it makes no sense for Zelina Vega to be in that ring with Asuka.
What can you do, man? What can you do?
And on top of that, as soon as she stops managing those two, all of a sudden they have success.
So, on that note, I think they're going to win the tag team champions.
I do, too.
You think Garza and them are going to win the tag team belts?
It makes no sense, so that's how I know they're going to win it.
And I'm just saying, like, we've already, how long has the Street Profits been tag team champions already?
They've been champions for a while, but that's their cash cow. Just like when the New Day was champions, they're gonna run them dry until, like,
well, they're already dry as their solo cup inside. They ain't nothing in that cup. There is dry. So time to give the championships belt to Andrade and Garza.
I personally don't want to see Andrade and Garza as tag team anymore. I'm ready for them to go one-on-one and separate, me personally. I feel that the Street Profits are going to win. Hopefully this will be the split up, and then they'll just go their own separate ways because it ain't working for me anymore.
If this is the final split up, then I know those matches are going to be fantastic.
It should be, yeah.
I mean, there's no way Andrade and Garza can't put on some fantastic matches.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, but the tag team, they've done it before.
No. If they split up, that's what I'm.
Yeah, if they split up, those two go one on one. If they split up, I feel like Garza needs to go to SmackDown. Like, keep Andrade on Raw, but do another trade. Trade Garza to SmackDown and pick up somebody from SmackDown to go to Raw. You know, just for the sake, so that way they can, we can see them grow individually as opposed to them being on the same brand fighting for the next, you know, fighting for the next spot. So we got Bobby Lashley going against Apollo Crews for the U.S. title.
Bobby Lashley retain.
Yeah, Bobby retains.
Okay. I can see Bobby losing, but only because of the Hurt Business. I mean, not Hurt Business, but because of Retribution.
If Bobby retains, but I don't think it'll be a clean finish.
Okay, I can see Bobby losing because of Retribution interfering or costing Bobby the match, which would give Cruz the belt. So that way they can continue the storyline between the Hurt Business and Retribution.
Yeah, but you got to remember Apollo Crews is still feuding with the Hurt Business because of Ricochet. And
this would deter that storyline, because if once Apollo Crews wins the belt, Bobby Lashley's gonna be more pissed off at Retribution, so he'll go after Retribution. That's how you like.
But don't you think Ricochet will try and still go after Cedric?
I don't know, because Ricochet got the win on Monday.
He did.
Yeah. I mean, once you win, I guess you kind of just like, I'm good now. I got what I want.
I just think they need to get the Hurt Business on one specific. Because, like, this is starting to kind of, this whole Apollo Crews, Ricochet storyline is starting to dry up a little.
Yeah. So this would be the perfect way to split this up and go in separate directions. After that, we got, we already said the Street Profits match. We got, to me, the Show Stealer, the ladder match between Hardy, AJ, and Sami Zayn.
Well, that better be the Show Stealer.
Yo, this is gonna be I think this is gonna be the best match in the card, bro.
And it's a ladder match.
Yeah. Now, I think Hardy retains, but I would like to see Sami Zayn win.
I think Sami wins.
As much as I think Hardy is gonna retain. I think they're gonna keep the belt on him for a little bit longer.
Yeah. I can see that. I mean, we all know my boy AJ. That's my boy AJ, and I would really want him to win. But I think Sami Zayn's gonna. Hardy's gonna win, but I want Sami Zayn to win. Because that takes AJ out of that picture completely, and then Jeff Hardy and Sami Zayn can do that back and forth.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the Money Feud I think would be a Hardy Zayn feud.
All right, so we got Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura versus the Lucha Party.
Lucha Party ain't gonna win that.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if Lucha Party did that.
There's already the Lucha Party, the next group they're gonna split up, bro.
I heard there's a rumor that Lindsay might be gone, might be done.
Which one is that?
He posted on Instagram, I think, a picture of him.
Of him holding his mask and saying goodbye.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a rumor right now that there's a superstar who didn't re-sign their contracts.
But they say I think it's a megastar. It's one of the bigger stars. He's not somebody that's.
I didn't hear anything about a megastar. I just heard it was a star, and he's listed as one of the people they think it might be. Unless this is because, I mean, they were, like, having some, like, beef between him and Kalisto, weren't there?
Yeah, they were beefing with each other for a little bit, but like it's kind of like that Angel Garza and Andrade situation.
Maybe Lindsay stops being Lindsay after they lose to Shinsuke. I didn't mean to make any of that rhyme, but but maybe he turns on the rest of the Luchas.
It's a possibility, but I mean, the Lucha Party beefing with each other from inside, is that's not a good storyline. I don't think I would watch that.
There's not a single, like, what have they done with the Lucha House Party? They got to do something. Start somewhere.
Yeah, just let them go and let them go do something else completely different.
They need to, yeah, because that group to me, it doesn't catch my attention.
Because they're never given any time to actually like show what they can do or go or do anything.
All they do,
you know who to blame for that.
We all know, yeah, but all they do is say lucha, lucha, lucha. That's all they freaking say. We all know that they're good wrestlers and they're phenomenal in the ring, but they don't give them the opportunity to show the people what they can do in the ring because they're being held.
Well, they're on the wrong brand, number one. I feel like if anything, they should be in the cruiserweight division. They should be in the cruiserweight show.
205?
I forgot that's still going on.
If anything, that's what they should be on 205, because that's the best way they can show themselves and show their real potential. Because right now on the SmackDown brand, it's just not the brand that I could see the cruiserweight division or their style really work.
Doesn't make sense because the cruiserweight title is defended on NXT.
But then they go to NXT. There we go. They got a better chance of doing something better than. They can actually be tag team champions in NXT faster than they can become tag team champions on any of the main roster.
Wait. Time out. The cruiserweight champion is on NXT?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Hijo de la Fantasma.
Hijo de la Fantasma. How come I haven't seen him on NXT as a
Well, he's changed his name. They demasked him, changed his name, and now he has like a small group.
Those guys in the black suits and all that?
Yeah, the ones who were attacking people for a while.
One of them is Zima Ion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. La Liga de Fantasma.
Yeah, but that doesn't make – why would you put the Cruiserweight champion on NXT if 205 Live is for strictly just for Cruiserweights?
Well, because you got to get viewers, man.
Yeah.
If you get the Cruiserweight champion on NXT, then I got to go back and watch Cruiserweight division to see what happens. So that's really the only way you can get that. Because ain't nobody watching 205.
But, I mean, they got to do something better with 205 because all they have is like one or two matches, and then all they do is show highlights of past shows.
Yeah, I mean.
But the Cruiserweight division, they should just go ahead, 205, just move over to the NXT brand and let NXT do their own Cruiserweight division. So you have Cruiserweight matches on NXT.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what they've already done. Like, 205 Live, from what it sounds like, just is like another main event or Superstars. Yeah, just one of those filler shows.
Or Velocity or something like that.
Because, I mean, most of the cruiser matches, like title matches that you see for the Cruiserweight title are happening on NXT.
Gotcha.
Because you've had Hijo de Fantasma versus Drake Maverick. You've had him versus Isaiah Scott Swerve. They've done some stuff with Tony Nese on there, you know.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I think that's the best thing for them to do right now with that is just – just keep doing what they're doing and just slowly fade out 205 to the point that it's just dead. And then we can just, everything will just be converted over to NXT.
Yeah.
And they can finally change that color purple because that's trash.
Nah, they ain't going to change that purple. They ain't going to change it.
All right, so the next one. For life.
So that purple's for life.
Yeah, that's ugly, bro. So we got another tag team match, which is Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus the Riot Squad.
Nia Jax and Shayna would walk out with that. And I think they hurt Liv Morgan.
They hurt Liv Morgan? Like, you talking about seriously put her on the shelf is what you're saying?
I'm saying they hurt Liv Morgan, whether it's a shoot or work. That's up to them.
Anthony, you are vicious. You are the supervisor. You are vicious. I don't understand. Why would you want to see somebody get hurt, bro?
I'm not saying I want to see somebody get hurt. I'm looking at facts, and I see who's in that match, and I'm telling you who is most likely going to get hurt in that match. Now, I didn't sit here and go, Nia Jax is going to hurt Liv Morgan. That would be too specific. But if I was to say anything, I'm pretty sure Nia Jax is going to hurt Liv Morgan. Her track record kind of speaks for herself at this point.
I mean, she does have a reputation of being a little stiff in the ring and hurting other women. So
I mean, it's not like she made Becky's face explode.
Exactly. But I do think that they're going to retain their belts. Matt?
Not for the most part, bro.
That was a what?
I said, the only title that changes hands tonight is the Bobby Lashley. Because the next one we got is Bayley and Nikki Cross going at it for the women's title again.
That's already been done so many times. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that is just pointless because we know what the feud is going to be.
Why couldn't they give the title match to Lacey Evans at least, you know, shit?
Yo, but what the hell? You picked Lacey. No, Mike.
Bro,
come on.
What? Did you really just say Lacey Evans? Like, she's a
wrestler? He did just say Lacey. He just said Lacey Evans.
We need something new, man. We've already seen them.
Lacey Evans is not new either, bro.
Yeah, well, okay, first of all, name me one good Lacey Evans match.
He's waiting. I'm waiting too.
Just go ahead and lay that on me, Mike.
All right. You okay? You right? You right? You right?
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. So not gonna happen with no Lacey Evans. Just do that. At least Nikki Cross, good wrestler. But again, there's no heat there. There's no story there. We know what's gonna happen. Bayley's just gonna squash her. She's probably gonna get some interference from Sasha. Sasha's gonna run in, screw Bayley over somehow. Because that's
Bayley's got to hold on to the belt to at least Survivor Series,
right? Because that's what you know they're working to is Bayley and Sasha. So this is just filler. Again, Sasha does a run in, somehow messes up Bayley, probably gets Bayley DQ'd.
Why didn't it just have Sasha wait until the pay per view to show up? Like, they had to come on SmackDown and talk. I'm like, just wait till the pay per view where we all know, like, you're gonna come out and attack the girl.
Right.
Yeah, they should have waited.
No,
you know what I'm saying? Instead of her coming, you just got your throat just, you know, snatched from out of you. But I still have her wait until 3 weeks from now, show up at the pay per view, interfere in the match because Bayley's not gonna be expecting it, you know, storyline wise, and then you go from there.
Right.
So, yeah. we all got Bayley winning that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the next one after that is
we got Bayley walking away with the title in that one.
Yes. Bayley's winning.
Yes.
Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso.
Roman Reigns is gonna retain.
Who thought that was gonna even be a fair fight?
Now my boy Tom said he's gonna pull the Hulk Hogan. He's just gonna lay down for Roman.
Nah, I don't think he's gonna lay down for
Roman. Nah, Jay ain't gonna do that.
Nah,
like he had this whole thing like, Jimmy's gonna show up and they're gonna form a group together and then they're just gonna be all together as one group and like kind of like the NWO Hulk Hogan thing that happened back in WCW. I personally don't see that. I feel like it's going to be an actual wrestling match.
Of course.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah.
But we all know Roman is going to retain the title.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. Do you think it's going to go down like, because he's been kind of doing this whole Rock persona type deal where he just shows up and busts people's head and he leaves like super quick.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? Do you think this is the direction that they're going with Romans now, where he's like just consistently just going out there, end the match real quick and then leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
otherwise so. His shirt doesn't make any sense.
Well, the shirt now says shut up in the main or just show up and win.
I mean, the shirt when he first came back said show up, wreck people, leave.
Yeah, but now he wears show up and win. So I feel like, well, maybe he can have longer matches now. I mean, not longer matches, but at least we can have a decent-sized match.
Well, we'll have that decent-sized match at the pay-per-view.
Right. Storyline-wise, is somebody's got to be able to be tough enough to get a longer match out of Roman, right? Mm-hmm. That's got to be the story. Because if Roman keeps showing up, American people left and right, you know, what effort does he really have to put in? So somebody has to step up and draw that out of Roman. Now, that's storyline-wise. In the real world, I'm pretty sure any one of those people can, you know, get more than 5 minutes out of Roman, but what's more exciting right now? This heel Roman, the showing up, murking somebody, Paul Heyman, and then running away?
That's what everyone wanted, a heel Roman, right. And they got a heel Roman.
Right. I don't want to see a 25-minute Roman Reigns match with Jey Uso.
So far, I've heard no complaints about the new Roman Reigns, so that's good.
Nobody wants to see a 25-minute Jey Uso Roman Reigns match. Nobody.
I do. I feel like because Jey Uso had, none of the Usos have given a chance to have a singles run. So at least give the man a solid match.
Okay.
I mean,
so again, this is the Zelina Vega shit all over again. What has Jey Uso done to deserve a WWE Universal title shot?
Being a great tag team.
Over by the cops.
Wow, we going there, right? We're going there, really. I don't want to go there. All I'm saying is, it'd be nice for Jimmy or Jay to get a title shot. Now,
maybe
was a stretch. It was a stretch to put him against, you know, for him to go straight to the main title, but. If you think about it, give him
a nice IC title run. Give him a IC title run. He does great with the IC title. Yeah. Then, you know, you evaluate him. But just to go from my twin brother is out of action to, hey, my cousin's got the title. Let me go ahead and get a title shot. What's that say? What has he done? And the fact that he hasn't been seen until Roman got back and did what he did to get the title.
That's why Tom thinks that it's not going to go down like we all think it's going to go down.
Well, only one way to find out.
Excuse me.
And then you're going to have, what, another random heel group?
Well, really?
If you do that?
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, there's it's because we've never seen a group with nothing but Samoans together. So if you bring Roman Reigns, you bring Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso to the group, you know, they create their own faction. I mean, like, Dean Ambrose had his own group for a small stint. I mean, really wasn't a group, but it's like right before he left. Seth Rollins had his own group. So why can't Roman Reigns at least have his own group that he can lead?
So let me ask you this. Who's after Jay?
Who's after Jay to do what?
To face Roman. Who could be big enough right now? Who could have the momentum behind them to face a Roman Reigns?
I said this last week on the last episode we did. It needs to be – I feel John Cena would be that guy.
Okay, but – Now you go into the let's take an outsider, bring him in and do this. Why not a Goldberg? Why not, you know, an Undertaker? You need somebody who's going to be there. You need, if you're going to have a top heel, you have to have a top babyface. They ain't got no top babyface right now on SmackDown.
So that's why you go get John Cena. He's a babyface no matter what. He's the top biggest babyface on Raw and SmackDown.
He's too busy.
But you got to have somebody who's going to be there.
It's just, it's to me, just to have him, for him to go against John Cena is just to push his momentum as a heel even further. Because the last match they had between each other, between John Cena and Roman Reigns, wasn't that good. And I feel like maybe this is the, you know, just like, you know, this would be the chance for him to redeem himself from that match. Redeem, both of them redeem themselves for that match.
So he faces, let's say they bring John Cena back and he faces John Cena and Roman beats John Cena, right?
Okay.
Where, how did we progress? How are we still not in the same boat?
He still got to go against The Fiend because The Fiend still never got his rematch. So he still has to go against The Fiend.
But how are we building this up? No one's being built up right now.
If you had to build it, you just build it like after he beats John Cena, here comes The Fiend. Here comes The Fiend, and you do your little stick with John Cena. He beats John Cena. Here comes The Fiend. Gives him the mandible claw. That lets you know The Fiend's the face for now, even though The Fiend should never be a face. But, you know, you just got to do what you got. You just got to use what you got. You could pull AJ and make him a face and go him for the WWE title. Or the Universal title. You can do John Cena. Man, I keep saying Cena. I mean AJ. I mean Styles. I mean, because there's not that many people on SmackDown to use anyway.
No, there's not. And that's what I'm saying is the problem. There's nobody being built right now. Mm-hmm. There's nobody being built. The closest person he has being built is Big E, and then they wrote him off for some reason.
Well, because they didn't want to push him to the title too soon. Like I said before, Big E and Roman Reigns is a WrestleMania match. Big E and Reigns at WrestleMania is something I would pay to see. But in between all that, you just keep putting him against people just to help build his heel gimmick. So if you're not going to do The Rock versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, The Rock and Reigns at Royal Rumble would be nice. You just need small pieces to build him up. You know what I'm saying? Just like any other heel, CM Punk did his time, but all these people that, you know, were part-timers and they came in and did their thing or whatever, and then they dipped after they, you know, just helped build his heel gimmick. So that's all you need to do for Roman Reigns is continue to build his heel gimmick with people that's not going to be there sporadically.
Well, again, that's true, but I feel like it still needs to make sense why they're facing him. And right now, that with Jey Uso, doesn't make sense.
It doesn't have to make sense. You just have to like it, man. I think it's going to be a great match.
I don't think it is. I don't.
I mean, I'm just not looking forward to all the super kicks and the splashes, but hey, you know, maybe he'll do something different.
Yeah, man. Well,
I mean, if this match goes longer than 10 minutes, I'll be surprised. This match shouldn't go longer than 10 minutes, but if it goes longer than 10 minutes, I'll be surprised.
All right, so we get into the last match, which will be Drew McIntyre versus Orton in an ambulance match. Who you got? Who you got?
Oh, this one's tough.
It's a tough one because a lot of there's two ways this thing could go down, man. Well, three. Either Drew retains, either Orton wins. Or if they throw a curveball at us, they add Keith Lee to the match, make it a triple threat ambulance match, and Keith Lee wins for the first time. So those are the my ways that this match can go down. But I want Randy Orton to win.
Supervisor, what you got?
Like I said, this one's tough. I would like McIntyre to still hold the title. I think he's still doing great as a champion. A very believable champion. But Orton, on the other hand, he's, you gotta give it to him, man. He just goes away and just becomes like nothing for a little bit and then becomes a psychopath again. And you have to just like, damn, he is good. And I know he was talking about wanting to get up to 16 and have a Mania match against Cena to see who would actually break that record. And that would be their final match. So that seems kind of intriguing. I don't know, Parvin says, I think Orton should walk away with that title.
Okay, so if Orton wins, he'll be at 15, right?
He'll be at 14.
14.
Yeah.
So they, I mean, he would have to drop it again.
He would have to drop it again and pick it up two more times. With WWE's booking, you know that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Awful.
Let me first say this. I'm not really feeling the ambulance match personally. I don't like the ambulance match. But I don't know what other match you could go down right now. There's plenty of other matches they could have done. They could have did like a finisher's match where you had to win the match by using your finisher.
I think the ambulance match would have made more sense if they hadn't given McIntyre a week off and then Orton a week off and then threw Keith Lee into it, which muddied that whole situation for no reason. Whereas if they just kept building it off of, you know, each one of them getting sent to the hospital every week, then the ambulance match would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, because they just threw him in the mix and they, like I said, you perfectly right. That would have made way more sense, but
right.
But like I said, I don't. They could have did a finisher's match because they were both hitting each other with like punts. So Orton would have to finish the match with the punt or the RKO. Drew would have to finish the match with the Claymore kick. I mean, there's so many different angles you could take that match. Referee get knocked out, doesn't see the Claymore kick, Orton hits the RKO.
I think last man standing probably would have been a better.
But the rivalry isn't there yet. It's not at that. I would have liked it if Drew McIntyre had a concussion. Like he was on a concussion protocol. So
to the jaw being fractured.
Yes, because in a concussion protocol match, he can his momentum could be off or his equilibrium could be off, and he can make a mistake and get caught with an RKO. Randy wins the match.
Right.
But Drew looks 100% to me like his jaw, your jaw doesn't stop you from winning wrestling, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But a concussion can stop you from wrestling.
Which is why I think they didn't go with the concussion being a story, because then that wouldn't make sense for him to continue on where they said it's just a hairline fracture, so you have the ability to continue to wrestle or you can take the time off. So,
well, I mean,
they use that as that, like, I'm going to continue to fight.
but you can do it where you sign a contract. They're not making WWE liable for you getting a concussion. If something happens to you in this match, you sign a contract. We're not reliable for nothing that happens.
Yeah, like an unsanctioned match.
Well, no, it can't be. It won't be unsanctioned. Well, it could be unsanctioned, but you still want it to the point where you knew under the condition that you have a concussion. And we don't think it's you. We feel like you're not safe working. But if you want to work, that's on you. And defend your title, that's you. But you put your own health at your own risk.
Oh, so we'll just call it the Attitude Era.
Yeah, there you go. They have sporadic moments of the Attitude Era inside of it. But I think that would have made the match way, way better because it would have been a more intriguing storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell you a big reason why they wouldn't do that is just they don't want that optic of they're not putting something where they'll put somebody's health in danger, even though Shane McMahon has jumped over every Hell in a Cell that's ever created.
Okay, so what's the difference between having a hairline fracture and you're still putting your health at risk?
They didn't get sued for a hairline fracture?
Huh?
I said they haven't been sued for a hairline fracture?
I don't think so.
Nope, but they've been sued for concussions.
They have been.
But you would have got it in written. You would have got it in written, like ran hit written. You would have got it written, like, hey, it's on him. We told him that we don't.
Think he can do it. I get that from a storyline part. But you also got to remember, there are people out there who still can't separate the storyline from the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Even in 2020.
Well, they need to pick up and read a book.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just telling you, as a publicly owned company, they wouldn't want to blur that specific line.
All right. Well, I still got to make my pick. And if Orton loses, all that momentum of him being a psychopath just goes out the window.
Yeah.
And he starts all the way back. He starts all the way back over again. If McIntyre loses the belt, it doesn't hurt his momentum. And he can always turn around and win the belt back down the road.
I agree.
I'm going to go with Orton just because you build him up to knock him down. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, unless Orton is actually doing something nice for once and building somebody up and letting somebody else be great.
Well, no. He takes the L. I mean, I think to the point of what is the reason of a heel turn or what is the reason for ramping up your character is there has to be some sort of outcome to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing was, oh, look, it's Edge. I don't want Edge back here. That's where it all started. Once Edge was out, then it was like, look at all these people defending Edge. They need to go too. Then that happened. Then he realized, well, if I just took out all these people, why don't I have the strap? Logical conclusion to that thought process, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to walk away with the strap after that. You don't put six people in the hospital and don't walk away with the strap.
Randy has to walk away with the strap. That's just point blank, period, huh?
He walks away with the strap. Now, I'm not saying he keeps it for a long time. Because the storyline, I think, dictates that Randy has to walk away with the title.
Mm-hmm.
But he could easily, again, and to your point, I don't think McIntyre would entirely lose too much from dropping the title if there was a revenge factor, and he was able to pick up that win right away the next month down the line.
Okay. So maybe the third match would be a last man standing match. What I would see McIntyre actually losing it for good and him being out the title picture.
If that's the case, yeah.
But that's the only way I could. That's the only way. All right. So, anybody got anything else before we get up out of here, man?
Nothing from me.
Nope.
Soup, you good, Soup?
Yeah.
All right. So, we want to thank you guys again for listening to the newest episode. We hope you enjoyed the show. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And once again, we want to thank the Colombian Cartel, the supervisor, for joining our show tonight. I am Matthew All-Star Jones. We are the Faction of Satisfaction, and we'll see you again with our thoughts on the pay-per-view. We hope you enjoy it. We out of here.